Good morning, everybody. That was nice, that little hush just before we started. Have you worn yourselves out? It's lovely to come and to worship together, to be excited for what God has to say to us this morning as we worship in his name. As we head towards Pentecost next Sunday and Trinity Sunday on the 26th, and as we start to think about what it means to have life in the Spirit as we look through Romans 8. If you remember last week, we had those wonderful words, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you remember, we hear Paul's frustration as he tries to do what is good, only to be frustrated by his sin. And then as it begins into chapter 8, we have those beautiful words, that triumphant statement. And today, we're going to think about what it is to live life as a child of God. In Galatians, and if you look at Galatians and Romans together, you see that Paul reiterates certain truths, certain promises. Galatians 3 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the promise is life as a child of God. Let's pray. Lord, we come to lift up our voices in praise, our hearts for healing and our lives for wholeness. We come to celebrate your glory, to declare your worth, and to receive your Holy Spirit so that our lives may bear fruit for your praise. We come from the darkness of our world to be filled with your light. We come as we are, that we might go in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And we'll start with a great hymn of praise as we think what it means to be heirs of salvation. Blessed Assurance, number 59.
Assurance, Jesus.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you because you are the source of all that is good and true. And you are the source of life itself. We can plan, we can build, and we can make many things, but only you can create. Only you can create out of nothing. Only you can give life to what you have made. Father, we praise you that from the very beginning, it was your intention that we should not only have life, but that we should have life that is real and full and free. We praise you that in Christ you have shown us the lengths to which you are prepared to go, so that we should have new life. We praise you that in him and through his utter commitment to your purpose and his obedience to your will, that you have left us in no doubt as to your love and mercy towards us. We praise you that this new life you have for us has no end. It is not limited by time or eternity. Wonderful God, we praise you for that love, which will never let us off, never let us down, and never let us go. We thank you that we can enter into that life with the power of your Holy Spirit. We confess that sometimes we feel unworthy. Perhaps in those moments when we feel that we are utterly unworthy of you and your grace. We confess that we have often known times when we've been ashamed and afraid of your coming too close to us. That we feel unclean whenever you are near. And that we feel so utterly inadequate to do justice to your glory. We confess the mess we have made and continue to make of our lives. We confess that though we call ourselves Christians and have opened our lives to Christ and been filled with your Holy Spirit, that we often feel that we're not greatly different from those who do not know you. Lord, touch us, hold us, cleanse us, forgive us, and renew us in your Holy Spirit, that we would have freedom to live. Father, we pray for those who are suffering and enslaved. We pray especially for those who see no hope. We pray for those who see no new beginning, no relief or freedom. To those today who are suffering from political oppression, persecution or imprisonment because of their faith in Christ. May the hope of Christ set them free. Lord, as we hear the news through the week, we pray for all victims of violence, for all who are despised or rejected, for those who feel frustrated by illness and pain. May the power of Christ set them free. We pray, as always, for all leaders and governments. Perhaps particularly for those who hold their people bound by rules and regulations, who dare not give their people freedom to think or to act or to choose for themselves. May the truth of Christ set them free. Lord, we pray for the whole Church of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your message of hope, joy and peace that you have given us in Christ. May all your people be filled with confidence, with the certainty of faith in Christ, and the power of self-giving love. Lord, as we think of your church and pray for your church, we ask that you would enrich our worship, empower our witness, and transform our service here and in the world. May we have an ever-increasing openness to the leading of your Spirit and to the gifts with which he longs to fill the lives of his people. We pray that your presence and power may be seen in everything we say and do together. May all our plans and hopes and dreams be for you, with ever-increasing awareness that we are people of God, that we are children of God. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So as we continue to think about the Holy Spirit, and as we were sharing together on Friday at Bible study, that when we believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and makes our heart his dwelling. And we sing more of that as we sing number 89, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Thank you.
a beautiful words, come down, O love divine, and wherein the Spirit makes his dwelling. As we continue to look through Romans 8, great chapter, lots to get our teeth into, you'll be pleased to know. As I said last week, Paul begins and ends the passage with statements about the absolute security of those who are in Christ. For anyone who reads cover to cover, as you know, it's the Bible in chronological order. So if you try looking for a psalm, it's almost hopeless. You can never find it. But I love the challenge that it sets around Romans 7 and 8. It says, have you stepped out of 7 into 8? Like Paul, gloriously free in the Holy Spirit. And as I said at the start, if you remember, Paul was really struggling last week, wasn't he, with his wanting to do good, a bit like all of us, can't do it good enough because we keep falling into sin. We keep doing things that are wrong. But then he comes out with those, now, no condemnation. So that's the challenge. Have we stepped out of chapter 7 into chapter 8, into that realization that we are free in the power of the Holy Spirit? Paul was contrasting the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. He identifies two distinct ways of life: a new life according to the Spirit or life according to the flesh. Paul uses walk to refer to our lifestyle. When we're walking in the Spirit, it describes a life surrendered to the control of God's Spirit. And as we are being transformed, the same fruit is developed in us. This time he contrasts the gifts of a spirit of adoption with a spirit of slavery and assures believers of their adoption and inheritance as heirs with Christ, reiterating the hope of sharing the glory of God. So I'll ask Jo if she'll come and give us our reading.
Our reading today is Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17, found on page 1134 of your church Bibles. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about by your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Again, a few short verses, but full of power. The Spirit from God is not a spirit of slavery. God didn't save us simply to compel us to do what he wants us to do like little robots. Instead, this Spirit is a spirit of adoption. God makes us his sons and daughters. His Spirit makes us able to cry out to God as perhaps a small child cries out to their daddy, because that's what Abba means, daddy. Since we are heirs of God, we will share in all the glories of God's kingdom with Christ forever. It's no accident that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, when we say our Father, he would have said Abba, that very, very personal, intimate name that we know. And as we have received the spirit of adoption, we can cry, Abba, Father. And so as we prepare our hearts to hear God's word, we're going to join together and sing, and we'll sing it through twice. Number 3, Abba, Father, yours and yours alone. Let's pray. Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. Lord, as we hear those words, I ask that you would just fill our hearts now with your love, with the words that you want us to hear, both individually and as your congregation, your family, your people, your body. Open us up now, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was reading those verses and as I was thinking about what it must mean, life as a child of God. How does that make you feel? Some of you are going, woo. Life as a child of God. During my quiet time yesterday, I was interested to reflect on, and for some of you who read the UCB word for today, it says, raising great kids in a troubled world. Kind of linked in quite nicely to life as a child of God. It goes on to say, there is no perfect parent. Most of you are going, for you. And there is no universal blueprint because every child is born unique. Now, I always thought my mum was insulting me when she called me unique. Psychologists told us our children were born to be a blank slate, waiting for us to write life instructions on them. And they say quite clearly, not so. Babies are miniature people, born in sin and shaped in iniquity, as we read in Psalm 51. They are given to us to figure out as we try to mould them spiritually, morally, socially, and intellectually. It says, by age 7, they have learned about 75% of everything they will ever know. Wow. But I've heard it said, if you don't get a child by the age of 7, then you're stuffed for the rest of your life. My add-on. But it's true, isn't it? You know, we think, you know, keep bombarding ourselves with information and everything, we're going to learn more and more. But actually, our learning years up to the age of 7. But although there is no one-size-fits-all formula for success, there are God-given principles that work whatever your relationship to the child. And some of you will remember the verse in Proverbs that says, teach children in a way that fits their needs, and even when they are old, they will not leave the right path. Phew. Each of us had a different start in life, and most of us are well beyond the age of 7, at least physically, maybe not mentally. So does that mean that there is hope? There is no hope for us? Not according to God. We are still invited to be children of God. How reassuring is that? Whatever our age, hallelujah, there is good news. We talk about basic needs for living. And an overwhelming one, I think, is community. We know, don't we, 4 years ago that we missed being together so much. Well, for some of us, it took us a bit longer, but eventually we admitted we did miss people. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the original and eternal community of love out of which we were created. And this one Holy Trinity is our true and eternal home. Our need to belong is what drives us to seek out stable, long-lasting relationships with other people. It also motivates us to participate in things like social activities within clubs or sports teams, faith groups and community organisations. Much has been said about the impact of social media and technology. We're starting to miss that social interaction as we go to the self-checkout and do it ourselves. That's trauma in itself, isn't it? As we do all our booking and our insurances, etc., online, never knowing now whether we're talking to AI or a chatbot or a human. I've worked out if you ask it the same question over and over again, you know if it's a chatbot because they just give you the stock answer. If you're talking to a human, they'll say, "Can you ask me something else?" Where is human interaction? We have to look at its effects on social interaction and social skills, or lack of, in this generation, possibly the generation before, and for those to come. Actually, they genuinely want to be part of community, want to be in relationship, want to be listened to. We all want to belong. Do you remember when you were young? Come on, some of you, you can get there. You can do it. Okay, Steve, I know that you're still young. Yeah. Wanting to be friends with the cool kids. Yeah? No, Joe says no. Were you the cool kid? You were a nerd. Yeah, the nerds never fitted in, did they? Or at least to be seen with the cool kids. Or, as I said, just said, perhaps you were the cool kid. No, none of you are agreeing to that one. None of us are cool. Some of us are nerds. Some of us just don't want to be part of it. But as we mature in years and in attitude, we look for places where we feel comfortable, places we know we're going to be accepted, places that we can be part of a community that we can call home, or at least a second home. The desire to belong is a deeply felt need, and when it isn't satisfied, the consequences can be really overwhelming. We all need to belong. Where do we find that need satisfied? The Apostle Paul addresses this question in our passage to the church in Rome that we've just heard. He poses some challenging questions. Where do you satisfy your need to belong? Where do you find your primary identity? Paul offers two choices that we can make. One is the sinful world of the flesh. When Paul talks about flesh, he's not talking about that. He's talking about our fallen, sinful nature, following the world's way, which he says ends in death. But living according to the flesh means we won't live beyond our earthly sell-by date. In Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool, the rich man says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Now, I don't know about you, but I always thought Shakespeare wrote that, so I'm quite pleased to know that Jesus said it first. This parable is unique to Luke's gospel. Jesus teaches the disciples about proper priorities. This includes recognizing that God knows all things, even our deepest secrets. Believers should honor God more than they fear death, or than they worry about things like food and clothes. The problem with this approach to life is that in reality, physical pleasure never satisfies. It fades and we want more and more. We stay hungry and thirsty no matter how much we eat or drink or be merry. We become slaves to our desires, and that way leads only to sin and to death. That's what Paul recognizes. But in his freedom, the freedom as he voiced so excellently, he identifies another option. We can be led by the Spirit. Paul writes in verse 13, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So living according to our worldly nature leads to death. But living according to the Spirit, God's Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, for God's will leads to life. Given to believers by God as a free gift of grace. Paul doesn't assume that all non-believers live according to the flesh while all Christians live according to the Spirit. If you notice right at the beginning of verse 12 that his audience is my brothers and sisters. That means he's referring to us, the church, believers who struggle constantly between living in the world but not of the world and living abundantly in the Spirit. We all must deal with the ongoing day-by-day choice between being bound to our human desires and living into our heavenly identity. And when we claim our heavenly identity, something awesome happens. We belong. We are not slaves. It isn't that kind of belonging. We belong to God in an intensely intimate way. We become God's children, deeply loved, always welcome. We've been adopted, chosen, brought into the family of God on purpose, beloved children of God. We become children who can call on our Heavenly Father in a familiar terms, just as Jesus did, Abba, Father. It was the pattern, as I said, used for prayer, calling on God specifically as Father. And that makes us sisters and brothers of Christ. We've been adopted into God's family. We read in John's letter, "See what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Paul writes, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption." When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Our share in the inheritance is the same as Christ's. It is the kingdom of God. Yours and my place in God's kingdom is as a beloved child of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? You're not looking like it's amazing. You're just so awestruck, aren't you? Suddenly it's like, you know, you've taken your place as a child of God. We've been adopted, we belong, and all that because of God's Spirit living in us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And we belong not only to God, but to God's whole family. I keep telling you, look around you. You might be living in eternity with the one sat next to you. Some of you might get up and move in a minute. That's why when we talk about church membership here, we call it believing and belonging. You're belonging to something more than yourself. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, one with each other. Paul starts this segment, "Therefore, brothers and sisters." Paul concludes that this is not an individual responsibility, and it isn't something we do by our own strength or will. Every verb that Paul uses to refer to his audience is plural. Every time he says you, he's saying all of you. We are all part of this family, sisters and brothers with Christ together through the Spirit of adoption. And because we are joint heirs with Christ, we inherit an equal share with Christ of eternal life and glory. Just as we inherit our share of his suffering, it says in verse 17. Whoa, hang on a minute, I didn't sign up for that. Didn't sign up for any suffering, did you? It'd be good to just miss over that bit, wouldn't it? Skip over, move on. I'm a child of God. Woo! Suffering, no thanks. But what does Paul mean by that? Goes back to what he wrote at the beginning of this passage. Our suffering is bound up in the strain between living in our own mortal bodies and longing for our heavenly home. When we think about where we're heading, sometimes doesn't the worries and concerns of life and the world just overburden us? Trying to live as Christ lives in this world is quite a struggle, isn't it? That's the tension that lies at the heart of living as a Christian in a world that does not call Jesus Lord. We see throughout Christian history that people have attempted to separate themselves from the world. The desert fathers who go off into the middle of the desert so no one could get them, so they could just reflect and meditate. Perhaps people who shut themselves away now so they can stay pure and holy and sacred, following only the life of the Spirit. But Jesus knew what it was like to live in the world. He knew what it was like to suffer for those who did not call him Lord. That's why in the, as I always call it, the real Lord's Prayer in John 17, praying for his disciples, he says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus knew. That's why he prays protection, not only for his disciples, but for us now, his new disciples. Being in this world is an inevitable consequence of being human. Being of the world is a choice, and we can choose to live differently by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Paul writes those familiar words a few chapters on in chapter 12. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The need to belong is a basic human need. The question for each of us is where that belonging will find its home. We can attempt to find our place in society, the seemingly cool gang, following blindly the symbols of belonging to the right groups, which change constantly. Or we can be really cool and follow Jesus and our God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A firm foundation on which we can build our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. Our identity is in Christ alone, by faith alone, as beloved children of our Heavenly Father. When we choose to follow Jesus and live in his Spirit, we belong to God. We are his own, adopted, and dearly beloved children. We belong to the eternal community of love that claims God as Father and Christ as brother, and the Holy Spirit as both transforming power and the sustainer of life everlasting. John writes that God is love. Romans tells us, as Paul writes, "But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His arms open wide in love. His arms outstretched to catch the worries and anxieties we have in our suffering." And according to Paul again in Galatians 5, the fruit of his Holy Spirit is love. So it is clear that the Holy Spirit is the one who produces genuine love in our hearts. This profound and unexplainable mystery of love invites us into its embrace, adopted into God's own family, not only to be with others who also seek to belong, but to be with God in the relationship and dance of his Trinity. See what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God and that is what we are. Jesus is the good news. In Christ we belong. Amen. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we offer our hearts and minds and lives to you, to the one who transforms us. We pray for the power of your Spirit to go on working through us and to give us the joy of seeing all other lives made new. May we know our identity in you. May we take our place in your family. Amen. And if you want to commit to those words as we sing number 449, second verse says, breathe, O breathe, thy Holy Spirit. Say those words to yourself as a prayer as we sing them. Love Divine, number 449.
Thank you.
a good workout for the lungs, isn't it? Praise God. Let's pray. Go now, knowing that you have been filled with the love of the Father, the power of the Spirit, and the grace of Christ. Amen. If you just want to sit down for a moment. Just a few things to say. So our Bible study continues this week as we think more about the Holy Spirit. We're thinking about the gift of faith. The readings will come out on email when I've done them. And as you've seen from the newsletter, it's the church AGM a week on Wednesday. For those who need to do their reports, make sure they're into Michelle by the 15th. It's probably only me that hasn't done theirs yet, I'm sure. No? No one has. Oh, I feel good. And if you have a role or responsibility and you're happy to continue, that's great. If not, please let Michelle know. And it's 4 weeks till Love Wickham. 4 weeks till we have a brilliant summer's day, just for a few hours. But yes, if you would like to get to Love Wickham, which is on the Rye, please speak to Joe. If you're able to offer transport and take a few people, please speak to Joe. Just make sure there's enough room to put a folding chair and your picnic, as we'll have an act of worship for a while. I understand now that there's a gospel choir coming and there'll be lots of things to do. Bouncy castles, now I do believe they are for the young people. However, and the prayer app's out, so if you're unable to download the app, just pray for your community anyway. But please continue to pray for Love Wickham on that day, that the sun does indeed shine, because it will be very soggy otherwise. Thank you.